There we go. Good Wednesday morning to you. It's the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lama. Without Ken Carmen or Anthony Lama, it's Daryl Ryder and Danny Cunningham. Don't look now. Here come them Guardians. Audio courtesy of Guardians TV and Major League Baseball. As they now have won 10 of 12. They're getting hot right at the right time for Browns training camp to begin. Their timing is impeccable. When everybody was watching and paying attention to them, Danny, straight down the elevator shaft they went. And now that the Browns are getting ready to convene out in Berea, or I should say they've already convened out in Berea, and they're ready to hit the practice fields later this afternoon. Here come the Guardians. They've won 10 of 12. Jose Ramirez, he is feeling well. Ball is flying off his bat and out of the ballpark. Kyle Manzardo, nice to see him get some playing time, and he's making contact with baseball, so I don't know, maybe you want to keep him in the lineup, but yeah, good to see the Guardians seem to have pulled themselves up by the bootstraps.
Yeah, it sort of makes you wonder where this team could be had they not had that 10-game losing streak. Like, that is, to me, always going to be, and I hate to be negative and bring that immediately up because they've won 10 of 12 and they've played awesome baseball lately, and of course, you do have to bring that with the caveat of, well, who exactly have they beaten? I know they swept the Houston Astros to sort of begin this 10 of 12 stretch that they're on. But I will just look at this and say, man, kind of what could have been, right? Because I do think, and they've gone from, I believe their low watermark was 15 games behind the Detroit Tigers in the American League Central.
15 and a half.
And I don't know what it was as far as how far back they were in the wild card race, but they have made up a lot of ground in both those areas.
They were like seven in the wild.
Right, because now they're down to two and a half. They're nine games behind the Tigers. And, like, I still think winning the division is a pipe dream. I don't think that's something that's going to happen. I could see this team, Daryl, making a run into the postseason. But the thing that's going to bother me, because I don't think that they should be buyers at the trade deadline. I don't think they're good enough to justify it. But the thing that's going to bother me is that this is a team that sort of, no matter what happens the rest of the way, and I would love for nothing more than to be 100% wrong about this, is I don't think that this is a team that's capable of winning the World Series this year, and that bums me out.
Yeah, I don't think that they're a threat to anyone. I've said it, and look, I would just tell Guardian fans to enjoy whatever happens between now and the end of September and early to mid-October. I think that they're going to chase down that second wild card. Yeah, it's single digits now. The objects in the rearview mirror are starting to get a little bigger and bigger. If you're the Detroit Tigers, here come the Guardians now. It is a nine-game lead for them in the American League Central Division. But this team is not a threat to anybody. And Owen and I have kind of gone back and forth this week about this. I get that, just get in the tournament, the old Mark Shapiro theory, just get in and anything can happen. Because baseball is a very stupid game at times and weird stuff happens. But realistically, they are not a serious contender like they showed themselves to be last fall when they came within three wins of getting back to the World Series.
But when were they serious contenders for you last fall? Because they weren't serious contenders until, you know, they started off 40-20.
Yeah.
Then they played 500 ball the rest of the year. They stayed 20 games over 500 the rest of the season. It's not like they ran away with the thing. It wasn't until the playoffs that they showed that, oh, we might have something here. I think you guys are greatly underselling what they've done the last 2 weeks and the ability. They were 15.5. They got swept by the Tigers, and they were 15.5 games back from them because of that, right? They went into it 12.5 back. They win one of those games in that series, and they should have won two of them at least, if not all three.
Well, they got great pitching efforts in that series and could not hit the baseball.
One run, two runs, and then, what, five or seven, but it was in, like, the 11th inning,
They gave up
right?
six runs in the 10th inning yes. in the final game of that, because that was the game where Bo Naylor had a pass ball.
Correct.
When Emmanuel Clase yes. had a save situation, they were
up 1-0.
With two outs
in the ninth, and they were up a run,
They
right?
should have beaten Tarik Skubal.
Yes,
yeah.
correct. And so, if you change that series now with what has happened, then, you know, you're right in the division again. You're right in the division. But because they didn't do well in that series, the division still seems out of reach, right? There's 62 games left. They're nine games out. They're going to need a lot of help from the Tigers to get there. They play them six more times.
Which is all the second It's the last week of the season and the second last week of the season. They don't see the Tigers again until late September.
Correct.
So by then it could be they one could be in a great position where if they go 6-0, like the division could be theirs, or it could just be out of reach.
And I'm not saying crown them as something special right now, because I agree they've done a lot of things to hold themselves back, and that's from a front office standpoint of not getting kids opportunities, right? Not even the whole bringing up Delauder or Kafis or any of that stuff. It's also keeping the roster the way it is. And a lot of that is also on Stephen Vogt for, you know, his platoon situations and the times that he chooses to pitch hit certain people. Manzardo, one of those where Manzardo's hot and then we bring David Fry in to bat for him. They still end up getting the wins, but there are concerns there, but I can't say that they're not contenders. I'm not saying they are. I can't say they're not contenders.
I just don't think that baseball is. And Darryl, what you said about, you know, you get into the tournament and anything can happen. I don't know that that's as true as it once was. Like, I don't think that that is as true as it was 10 years ago, because you look at what this team, what this organization did in 2016. That team was not great. That was a good team. That was a very good team, but it was not a great team. It was not a team that I think you look at if you brought back that exact team right now, in that form, I don't know that you look at that team as a World Series contender, because now I think we've gotten to the point where the best teams, I do think, are so much better that they're going to win more often than not. Like the randomness, I think, has been a little bit sucked out of baseball's postseason. And that is something that I think inherently hurts the Guardians, because they organizationally, since they lost in 2017 to the Yankees, when that 2017 team, I think, has an argument as the greatest or the best Cleveland baseball team of my entire lifetime. But they got unlucky. And since then, I think their philosophy as an organization has been, let's get good enough to be lucky. But I think the threshold for being good enough has risen to the point where now it's so much more difficult for them to get to that point. And I just don't think they're at that point this year. Like, I don't think that this team, as currently constructed, is good enough to get lucky in the postseason. They might be good enough to make the postseason, but I don't view them as a team right now that can win a series or two series, which they're probably going to be in the wild card series if they make the postseason. Like, we're not looking at this team as one that's going to have a bye. So you're going to have to win three series to get to the World Series and then beat someone really good. I don't see that happening.
No, I don't either. And the only luck they have been able to create for themselves this year mostly is bad luck, because they are not a fundamentally sound ball club, not by any stretch of the imagination, not defensively, not on the base paths. They have run themselves out of innings. They've run themselves out of games. They have committed errors at the worst possible times. You're right. The diluted playoff format now that Major League Baseball has adopted is... At first, I was a fan of it because you give more teams hope that, you know, you can be a contender, which I think complicates your trade deadline a little bit. Not as many teams now are ready to run up the white flag and be sellers, because they're convinced that what I was talking about, hey, you know, we're a couple of games out, we get in, anything can happen. But I would agree with you, Danny. I do think that it is harder now to win a World Series today than it was 5, 10, 15 years ago, just because of this new baseball format. The more rounds you add to a postseason, the more steps you have to climb, the harder it is to win it all. That's why, like, you know, when we have the conversation about the Cavaliers and trying to win another NBA championship, and I try not to get into that championship or bust mindset with them, because I've covered enough playoff teams that I've had a front row seat of how difficult it is to climb those individual steps to get back to that level. Now, that's not to say as a fan you should not expect that of your team and want them to do that. But you're right. You look at this Guardians team right now, it still is Stephen Kwan. It's Jose Ramirez. At times, it's Carlos Santana. It was good to see Kyle Manzardo last night. And then it's random guy contributes night, or random guy costs you the game night, depending on how it goes. But the fact that they have been able to bounce back after just falling straight down the elevator shaft I wrote them off. I'm not alone. Everybody else in the world had written them off. We're going to talk to Zach Meisel of The Athletic coming up at 8:20. Going to find out, and I'll ask you this, Danny, how much do you think this turning of the tide now, going from losing 10 in a row, falling 15 and a half behind the Tigers in the division, to winning 10 of 12, shaving that lead down to 9, how much do you think that changes the front office's perspective on just where this ball club is and maybe their approach come the trade deadline?
I don't think it really changes much of anything for them, because I do think that if you want to give the front office credit for one thing, it's that they're not going to overreact to these things. Just in the same way that they were not going to overreact to the team losing 10 in a row.
I would like the front office just to react.
Right. I mean, that's fair too, but you can't overreact if you don't react.
Right.
So,
I would like them just to react. Show me a pulse.
Right. But I don't expect much of any. Like, if anything, I expect them to be moderate sellers at the trade deadline. I don't expect there to be some fire sale. There should not be some fire sale. I don't think that there's going to be some big buy at the trade deadline. And ultimately, Daryl, I think we have to look a little bit deeper into this team, because one, they do have a negative run differential where they've been outscored on the year by around 30 runs, which is not a very good number for a team that's 500. Like, that tells you, okay, the 500 record is a little bit fluky. And then if you look at how they've broken down against other teams, they are 21-37 against teams that are 500 or above.
I mentioned that yesterday.
And 29-13 against below 500 teams. So they have done a good job taking care of business, which you deserve credit for, because you know what it is easy to do? It's easy to kick games against bad teams and not beat those teams. But they've also not proven that they should be taken seriously, because when the good teams have come to town, or when they've faced good teams on the road, they've not looked anything that resembles a contender.
Yeah, absolutely. The above 500 record, or I should say the record against teams above 500, that's what stood out to me when I mentioned it on yesterday's show. That's your litmus test. You know, you're right. Let's give them their props. They are getting fat on the teams they should be feasting on. The Orioles are terrible. They are just not a good baseball team this year. I would argue that Baltimore potentially could be the most disappointing team in baseball. There were high expectations for them coming into this season, and it has been a massive disaster. I was on our sister station in Baltimore earlier this week, and we were talking a little baseball, and you can sense the frustration in Baltimore with how this season has gone from them. But I would also argue, too, here in Cleveland, it's been frustrating because the Guardians were 3 wins away from the World Series. I know the Yankees were a juggernaut in the American League last year before they ran into the Dodgers. But the reality was, like you alluded to, I don't know that they were legit ready for prime time last year. And they certainly aren't ready for it this year. For me, it's get your wild card spot and see what you do in the playoffs. Enjoy the couple playoff games. Pat yourself on the back. Tell yourself how good your ball club is. Go into next offseason, hopefully with not only a short but a long-term strategy to set this thing up to where you can compete with the best of the best. They found ways to compete with, or to beat, I should say, the worst of the worst. Now they got to find a way to position themselves where they can beat those good ball clubs and compete for a World Series. And I just don't know that that's their undying motivation. You cover the Cavaliers. You've had a front row seat. They're motivated to win an NBA championship.
Absolutely.
I think that that's fair
Absolutely.
To say.
Absolutely. Yes.
We can criticize them. They didn't get past the second round again. We can criticize that. But they're motivated to win an NBA championship. And we'll see if they can pull it off in the next couple of years. I just don't, with all due respect, I don't feel like the Guardians are motivated by 1948.
Well, that's
I don't feel like organizationally they are driven by that. I feel like it's what you and I have been talking about. Let's field an entertaining, competitive ball club that can get us to the postseason, and whatever happens, happens to happen.
If you didn't know better, you would look at these two organizations in town and say that the Cavs are the one that has the longest title drought in their sport, with the way that they've operated, because they just won 64 games. And listen, They failed in the postseason, and I think they will all tell you that they failed in the postseason, but they made moves this offseason to try and make themselves better when next postseason comes around. The Guardians, I don't think, failed in the postseason last year. I do not think that getting to the ALCS can be looked at for them as a failure, but then they didn't get better in the offseason. They did not want to improve their chances, and that is where my biggest issue lies with them.